Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network and also on our YouTube channel. We've got some amazing things happening right now. There's just, I don't even know where to start. I don't even want to get into the political agenda. I know they're passing, putting bills forward to kind of take out the IRS and a few other things and end the feds and audit the feds. And there's so many things going on behind the scenes. And, you know, along with all the it seems to be, it looks a lot of people are disappearing off the scene that were, you know, indicted, and the indictment seemed to be opening up. So I really don't want to go into all that. Just, it's all over YouTube. Just YouTube it, check it out. There's some other things I want to talk about today. And, you know, I've got a great guest. I've got Ken Roll on, and I've always admired Ken's work. He's got some amazing work projects going on here. And he's a natural health educator, researcher, inventor from New Smyrna Beach, Florida. That's a strange place. He offers cutting-edge products and services for regaining the optimizing health naturally using ancient wisdom and cutting-edge science. You may be contacted at freshandalive.com. So anyway, I'm doing the short bio just because Ken's been on the show before, and we have so much information I want to get to. I'm going to go through, but as his regular bio, if I talk about all of the things he's been doing here, we'd probably be on here for a half an hour. but anyway, without any further ado, Ken, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, James. I always enjoy speaking with you. And likewise, I really admire what you're doing. I was just talking to my wife about all the various things you do and also how affordably you do things for the public. That really, really resonates with me.
Yeah, we try to keep things so everybody can experience it. And, you know, especially these shows are free. People don't realize there's no advertisement, nothing. I pay for these shows,
right,
just as a public service. But anyway, you know, hopefully people will buy a lot of your products on the show. I know you've got some amazing products. Some of them we're actually using here, which is interesting. And I don't know how much you want to talk about, because I know you've got technologies that help with radiation, they help with cleaning the air, you know, help with the chemtrail problem and all the other things. And there's so many different technologies you're working with. I'll just let you go ahead and talk about, you know, whatever you want to say about those products that you have.
Okay, well, the I guess you'd say the non-controversial products are, well, you know, I have a whole variety of products for maintaining health, supplements and EMF protection and things like that. I developed a device, an electrically powered device that is a scalar wave generator that puts out a field that will get you into deep sleep and protects against EMF. And it also accelerates manifestation of thought into reality, because I noticed there were a lot of synchronicities when I started using this device. It's called a rest shield. You can see it at freshandalive.com. And it's a little pyramid, a little powered pyramid. And I started noticing after I developed it, along with sleeping really deeply, that a lot of synchronicities were happening in my life. And then people that were buying them were telling us that they were noticing the same thing. And so I started investigating it using quantum biofeedback and various things and just doing intention experiments. And it really seems that the scalar waves that this thing puts out act as carrier waves for human consciousness itself, which is also a form of scalar energy. And because it uses natural mineral frequencies from gemstones and different minerals, it seems to pick up positive thought and not amplify any negative thoughts. In fact, kind of the opposite. It makes you more relaxed and calm and that kind of stuff. So that's one of the little unadvertised benefits from that product that you know, we can't really post on our website, but that technology, it also, we're finding out that it's effective against 5G as well, 5G wireless technology. So that, you know, I've also had a portable version of that technology that you can carry with you in your pocket. We don't have on the market right now, but I'm going to be bringing it back out, called the Stress Shield, and it's like a portable field generator that will protect people against EMF, particularly when they're out and about amongst all of the Wi-Fi and airplanes and that kind of stuff. But the one that I have to be careful about what I say about is a device called the Home Shield. And that is on our website, but we don't tell the truth about what it really does and what it really was designed for. Publicly, you know, on our website, we basically we promote it as a whole house EMF protection device and a sleep aid, which it does do that. But I really designed it for clearing chemtrails, and actually not even chemtrails. I designed it for clearing Fukushima fallout because I had worked with Chernobyl victims, you know, many years ago and helped several Chernobyl victims heal from radiation poisoning. And in the course of doing all that, I had studied the effects of the nuclear fallout from Chernobyl quite extensively and saw the epidemiology and the millions of people that died from that radiation and the effects in the United States, particularly even across to the East Coast. And so I knew what was coming when Fukushima happened. But when I first heard about it, my first thought was, I wonder if somebody used a scalar weapon to create that tsunami, because I have worked with a lot of advanced technologies back in the 90s. I worked with free energy technology and a lot of different things. So I was aware of a lot of stuff. And I also had friends that, you know, were scientists and that worked on very advanced technologies. So, for you know, I went and Googled Fukushima scalar weapon, and one of the first things that came up was the Minister of Finance of Japan being interviewed by Benjamin Fulford, who was the former editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, China. And in that interview, on camera, this guy said that the United States had used a scalar weapon to not only create the Fukushima earthquake that caused the tsunami, but they had done it twice before on the west coast of Japan to blackmail Japan into economic policies against China because, you know, there's this, as you know, there's this battle that's been going on behind the scenes between various countries to remove the United States dollar as the world's reserve currency and make the Chinese renminbi or some other currency become the world's reserve currency. And for those that are not familiar with what a reserve currency is, that's just the currency that countries use to do business between themselves. And so since World War II, the U.S. dollar has been that currency, and it's been so heavily linked to oil and kind of blackmails a lot of countries into using it for purchasing oil and other goods, that between that and all of the political manipulation and military manipulation that's been going on by the United States, these countries are tired of it. So they've formed this coalition of nations called the BRICS Alliance, and they've been working to get rid of the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. So the United States, of course, has been heavily combating that, because if that happens, you know, right now the way it works or has been working is that, you know, we print dollars out of thin air and we can go off and buy stuff from other countries. But other countries have to trade real assets for U.S. dollars to purchase commodities and goods and things that they want. And so the moment that that printing press goes away, we're toast economically. So there's been all this finagling going on. So this is what this Minister of Finance of Japan was saying, that, you know, they did these scalar attacks to blackmail Japan into policies to prevent the Chinese renminbi from becoming the reserve currency. So the first two times, Japan resisted and didn't do what the United States wanted. And the third time, which was Fukushima, they finally relented. So here he was on camera saying all of this. And of course, it wasn't up very long before that video was taken down. And it's been up and down a few times since, and I don't know the status of it, if it's still out there now. But at any rate, I saw that and went, well, that doesn't surprise me. But if people are using scalar wave technology to create these problems, there's bound to be somebody using it to create solutions. So I looked around, and sure enough, there were. But the people that were creating the technologies didn't really know what they were doing. They didn't understand the physics of it. And because I had worked with the technology and developed technologies like that, I set about to create something to stop the radiation from coming down on us. And spent about a year and a half. I hardly slept, hardly ate, and did a lot of experiments and finally came up with this device that would clear a 75-mile radius of the nuclear fallout. And I discovered very quickly that it didn't just clear nuclear fallout. It cleared all the air pollution up in the sky, including, you know, the air pollution that we normally generate and chemtrails. And so, and it doesn't drop it down on Earth. It basically it creates this big upside down tornado of skater waves that acts like a vacuum cleaner, and the point of the tornado or the vortex is out in space. So it just acts like a vacuum cleaner. It sucks this pollution out into space. And then when you clean the atmosphere, that balances the charge in the atmosphere. And then you, not only does it clear the pollution out, but you get normalized weather, because you're, all this pollution unbalances the ionic charge in the atmosphere, which creates weather extremes. So mm-hmm. I discovered putting these things out that, that along with clearing the skies of pollution, it also stops severe weather, and you just got normal weather for your area that you're supposed to get.
And yeah, we have one here, and it's amazing. The I noticed here with all the, you know, the UFO activity and things like that, I'd be like praying for help, going, you know, we're just getting hammered here. They're doing triple layers of chemtrails on us, trying to shut everything down here. And I noticed that when I would do that, all of a sudden these chemtrails would be exactly like you said. They'd look like tops, you know. They would mm-hmm. be spun into these tops like little tornadoes, and they would go up, and then all of a sudden the sky would be clear, and they just wrap them all up and they'd work with them. And so the ETs have that technology, and they're using it to help, you know, clean up the earth. I think eventually the bottom line is we're going to have to go and hold the people accountable that are actually doing, you know, creating the toxic skies. And I'm really hoping that when we see an end of the feds and the end of the New World Order, the global elite and that program, that's all going to change, you know, and be done. And hopefully these global arrests will be part of that. But it's almost like crazy to just keep battling this stuff, and they just keep getting worse and worse. And we deal with the people doing it, you know.
That's it. And there are people that are, you know, attempting to work through legal means to stop it. But of course, it's covert military, it's covert secret space, it's covert non-governmental organizations, or, you know, whoever it is. Yeah. There's a lot of different parties involved. But I looked at all that and I said, I'm not waiting around for this to get stopped legislatively or some other way. You know, it's like, exactly. I want to stop it now.
Yeah.
And so I was fortunate in that I had all of the tools and pieces to do that. But quite honestly, I mean, the reason I had all these pieces was because I'd had extraterrestrial contact 25, 30 years ago, and they gave me information that allowed me to understand the physics to create a technology. So, yeah. And this is something that I've seen a lot with a lot of scientists and inventors that I know. Most, if not all of them, are having extraterrestrial contact, and most of them overtly, and they understand that's what's going on. And so there's a heavy extraterrestrial influence on Earth through giving people who can do something about this stuff the tools to stop it.
Yeah, I agree. I know quite a few physicists that are working. They're cutting edge, you know, as far as energy technology and healing technology, and they all are having contact or have had contact. And I know some. One guy, I won't mention his name, I don't want to get him in trouble, but he actually had a feline being appeared to him and put a chip in his hand. Said, here, you know, here, this is what you need, and you know, for the fuelless energy technology. And so it's either being sent telepathically, you know, or actually one-on-one. The people that are having the one-on-one contact are probably not going to be talking about it. They won't be saying anything. But
exactly. You
know, yeah.
Exactly.
I knew a
Los Alamos physicist who – he actually was a physicist. He had a PhD in physics, chemistry, and biochemistry. And he was also an Iroquois medicine man, and he was having weekly contact, and he was getting all kinds of downloads and information and technologies and creating some amazing supplements that were healing people of, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. And we spent hours talking about our experiences. And of course, I'm one of the few people that'll talk about it publicly because I don't have academic credentials to be destroyed, and I don't really care what people think of me. Uh-huh. And so I'll go, but most people won't talk about it publicly.
Well, I noticed that in academia, like some of the guys, I know one guy that's got like 9 PhDs, and he says, he goes, you're not going to learn this in school or college or anywhere else in academia. He said, this information, you're only going to get it through research, and it's going to be given to you or downloaded to you. And he's one of the smartest people on the planet that I know of. Yeah. But and they're all saying that. And you know, we have people here come here and they said, no, I'm not. I haven't really studied any of this stuff. I haven't been religious or I haven't done this. And they start apologizing. I go, great, great. You know, because we have to spend most of the time undoing all that, you know.
Precisely. And that's what I had to do. I had to unlearn what I was taught in school because 95% of it was just wrong.
Yeah. Now you work with Dr. Sam over there as Osmanagic. I always have trouble with his name. But,
yeah, I know. I did too. Osmanagic.
Osmanagic. Yeah. Okay. So he's. I've had him on the show before. I really love the work he was doing. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of your experiences there with the energies coming off the Bosnian pyramid?
Yeah. Yeah. We were kind of fans of each other's work for several years. And his American PR person kind of connected us. And so we were fans of each other and we'd email each other and he would send me videos of their latest discoveries, which were pretty cool. And then I would email him and explain the physics of, you know, what was going on with them. And basically there's, for those that haven't studied or seen the Bosnian pyramids information, it's a whole complex of not just pyramids, but other structures that create, an energetic system that covers several miles. And it's several pyramids, very, very large pyramids. The largest pyramid, they call the Pyramid of the Sun, is so large the base of it could cover the entire town next to it. Mm-hmm. And so these things were so large, and they were covered with trees and grass and dirt, that everybody just thought they were pyramid-shaped mountains until Sam came along in 2006 and observed this, you know, the structures outside of Sarajevo, about a half hour outside of Sarajevo, and realized they were pyramids, started excavating, and found, in fact, that they were all these artificially made structures. And but they're not conventional monolithic rock pyramids like, say, the Egyptian pyramids or the Mexican pyramids. And so partially because of that and partially because the discoveries that he's making will change the whole narrative of human history. Mainstream archaeology has attacked him and dismissed his discoveries. And early on, it was easier for them to do that when he hadn't excavated that much and made that many discoveries. But now they've got large enough areas of the pyramids uncovered that you can see clearly these very large monolithic slabs that cover the outside of these pyramids, made out of concrete that's harder than anything we have on Earth right now. Mm. And writing inside, deep inside these pyramids, and organic matter that they've carbon dated to 38,000 years ago inside these pyramids. Wow. But because they're really built like these giant pieces of organite, where they're layers of river rock mixed inside of clay. And for anybody who's familiar with making organite, basically you take a bunch of small particles of crystals and minerals and metals, and you put them inside of a non-conducting substrate like resin, you know, fiberglass, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it'll create skater waves if you do it right. And so that's what these pyramids are, basically. They've got a couple of large pyramids. They have a large cone-shaped mountain that Sam calls a tumulus. They've also found a bunch of large, like 15-foot diameter stone spheres that are perfect spheres that, you know, even now we would have difficulty constructing. And so in the last 2 years, I started going to the pyramids, and the first time I went, as we're touring the pyramids, I was with Sam and I was pointing out the physics of what was going on inside these things, because they've got people going inside the tunnels in these pyramids and getting cured of stage 4 cancer and Parkinson's mm-hmm. disease and diabetes and, you know, you name the disease. And they want to know how it's working. And they don't just want to understand it. They want to quantify it to the scientific community. So this past June, he invited a team of engineers and scientists, including me, to come and mind meld and study these things and take measurements of various kinds of energies on them. And you know, some brilliant, brilliant people there. And so we, you know, we've kind of proven what's going on with the energetics there, that first of all, these pyramids put out these double helix vortices of skater waves that come up through the tip. And, you know, they've measured this scientifically with flying drones up over these things with measuring equipment. Mm-hmm. There's energies inside the tunnels in these pyramids, and there's energies all around them, and different structures have different degrees and different frequencies of energy and that kind of stuff. And they've got a medical doctor who is studying people that are going there and measuring, taking biological measurements of them and studying what the effects are on, you know, people as they're around these things. So they're quantifying, and it's becoming pretty irrefutable now. So it's absurd for anybody to try and claim that these are just natural mountains that just happen to look like pyramids.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I was listening, when I had him on the show, he was talking about how these waves coming off these pyramids would actually get stronger the further away they got from the planet,
That's exactly what a skater wave does, because it's just like a tornado. At the source where the energy starts, you've got this big vortex like the opening of a tornado or a hurricane. Mm-hmm. And as it folds in on itself, it gets stronger and stronger toward the apex, just like a tornado. And that is a classic signature of skater waves.
Yeah, I know Tesla was playing with that stuff, and he almost, you know, wiped out the whole, you know, he had to break it down with an axe, his equipment, because
he created earthquakes. Yeah, he was creating earthquakes, which the United States government now uses to create earthquakes to blackmail countries into agendas that, you know, the U.S. wants.
Yeah, I'm looking forward that, from my understanding, and I can't say too much about it, but I know that all the major world leaders are having contact right now.
Yeah.
And I've got that firsthand from some very high people. And I know there's going to be a total change, a total global reset, and everybody's going back on the gold standard. And I know the people involved in that are actually the ones that are the signatures and moving the money and things like that. It's not, you know, a long time ago, it's still happening. People go, Tuesday it's going to roll out. Everything's going to happen. And I kept telling them, no, it's not going to happen. Everybody get really mad at me. And I said, it's not going to happen because the gold hasn't been moved yet. There's, you know, the gold has to be in place before they can do these things. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't happened yet. And the problem with every time they tried to do the transfer, the cabal guys would come in and block it or try to steal it, and it would shut everything down, which has happened 4 or 5 times. Every time they're about ready to roll it out, you know, a whole new group comes in and tries to steal the money or shut it down or whatever. Right. And they've arrested most of them. Most of them have been taken out. So, and one time one of the guys was, that they thought was a major player turned out to put a virus into the whatever computer. It's like a biocomputer, I guess. It's a huge computer, and they messed it up. But I think everything's ready to roll out here. It's probably in the next couple of weeks. I wouldn't be surprised, but but it's interesting, you know, watching all this unfold, and it's like, I told people, it's like whack-a-mole, you know, they're all ready to go, and all of a sudden these moles pop up, and they got to whack these moles and start over, and every time they go to launch, you know, the moles pop up again, and they got to whack them, and you know, when you really think about it, you're dealing with the banking industry, you know, where, you know, there's not a lot of high integrity there, I hate to say
I've had major lessons in that recently, and you know, it's coming out too publicly, like on YouTube, that the banking system through the SWIFT transaction system is controlling free speech and the sale of natural health supplements and all kinds of things by shutting off payment systems to people that are involved in those activities. And so that's going to come to an end just simply by, as you're talking about, bypassing the banking system entirely.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think that cryptocurrency is going to be our savior, but you know, there's a lot of evidence, factual evidence, that shows that the NSA and the CIA have their hooks into the encryption algorithms for all those technologies, and especially Bitcoin. You know, that there are people like William Binney who was the former chief technology officer from the NSA, talking about all the hooks that the NSA has had into these encryption algorithms. So the Bitcoin looks like, well, there's actually mainstream news coming out now that Bitcoin was a creation of the NSA and to really, really enslave people, because people think that these cryptos will offer us freedom because there won't be any banking intermediaries to control transactions. But what they don't realize is that the way the blockchain network works is that, you know, you've got hundreds of thousands of computers across the world that are part of the network that compute the transactions for every single transaction on the network. So every computer has every transaction in the world on its on the computers. And so people think, well, okay, so you can't destroy the system because there's so much redundancy. But if you have the encryption algorithms to that data, then it's one-stop shopping to access every transaction in the world and see what's going on and maybe shut people off or steal their, you know, empty out their bank wallets or whatever. So there will be – I think it's kind of like the internet. I think that that technology will ultimately be utilized in the transition, maybe away from money entirely, to provide an alternative for the people that are aware, and maybe for everybody, of systems that aren't controlled that way. Kind of like the internet, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Well, I kind of felt, you know, people have been really pushing me, and you know, I'm not either yay or nay about the cryptocurrency, but my own personally, I feel like anything that's hooked into the computer and you depend on the computer to access, probably, you know, not a great idea, considering, you know, all you need is any kind of a pulse weapon or, you know, an EMP weapon or a solar flare or a pole shift or any changes in the fields would have access. And I really don't, you know, I think we're going to see an increasingly, you know, almost exponentially increasing amount of grid going down in the future, just because of the, we're moving into a high energy space in space. We're getting bombarded. Did you see that wave that just hit us? I think, I'm not sure when it was. It was December, I think somewhere on the 20th or something like that. This massive wave hit the Earth, and it just slammed into the Earth, and the whole field went off out into space, and it rebuilt itself. But when I saw that, I go, oh my God, that was a huge impact. And we had power outages up here. We had a couple of them during that experience. But just because of where our solar system, the highly energized place in space we're moving into, and a bazillion other reasons, I know those guys have access to every iPhone, every computer, everything. So they, you know, they can go there whenever they want and take this away. It just doesn't seem like a good idea to me. I don't think the safeguards are really there.
I totally agree. I've, you know, gotten completely out of social media because, for one thing, if you look at what's going on in China right now with social credit scoring and the incredible surveillance and control of the Chinese people going on there, you know, that could come here if all of this stuff isn't stopped. But there's, you know, these reptilians that I encountered, which were benevolent, by the way, one of the things that they said was there's no greater technology than our own physiology. Mm-hmm. And so I look at, you know, these benevolent extraterrestrials, how they run their societies and how they exist. They don't have money. They don't have these control systems in place generally. I mean, some may, but the more evolved ones don't. And we don't need money. And this is, I think, where we're headed. I think that there will be a gentle transition, you know, maybe less gentle for people that are buying into the system heavily.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be a shock like where, you know, something blinks out all of the electronics on Earth in one shot. Mm-hmm. I think that we'll see a transition away from utilizing these unnecessary technologies and a monetary system and those kinds of things. Because it's like I was told, you know, if we can communicate telepathically, why do we need an internet? Why do we need, you know, telephones and communication systems and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, this 5G thing, I know you mentioned that earlier. Every researcher I've talked to about that, they all are saying this is just bad news. This is like Cancer Inc., you know, when this rolls out.
Right.
And they're already having serious problems with just the technology we have right now. And I guess this 5G is going to be cancer on steroids, basically.
Yeah, and it's not even necessary. They could do the same things with 4G technology. It's all a smokescreen, you know, the public reasons that they state for implementing 5G. It's not about that at all. It's about suppressing consciousness and killing off people and population reduction and that kind of stuff. And, you know, from an engineering standpoint, because my background is in electrical engineering, you look at what the cell company's own engineers are saying about this. It's like they don't need to go 5G and they don't need to have these short distance antennas, you know, millions of them all over the place, because there's a lot of problems with that as well from a content or a transmission delivery standpoint, because these short range antennas that are very weak, they can't penetrate through certain kinds of walls. They can't go through alleyways and things like that. So there'll be a lot of areas that won't be covered by it. And it's just not a smart implementation if you wanted to truly have the Internet of Things as it's, you know, being pushed for. What it's really about is surveillance, suppressing consciousness, reducing population. Because for one thing, the frequencies that they happen to choose are the exact frequencies that resonate with oxygen in the body. And so it starves cells at a cellular level of oxygen, which suffocates you at a cellular level. And then, you know, prior to that, the microwave radiation from other wireless technologies and cellular technology, the frequencies will resonate with water molecules and heat them. And so it's not by accident they've chosen the frequencies that they have.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting because Otto Warburg, I think in 1927, gave us a cure for cancer. He said they had to, you know, raise the pH, you know, the body pH and blood oxygen. And both cancers and aerobic, it, you know, can't exist. So you really think about that, they're using that formula in reverse.
Exactly. Because they know, they understand this, you know. Of course, publicly in the mainstream media and such, it's always been promoted that, oh, gosh, we don't know what causes cancer and how to cure it and all that, which, of course, is nonsense, because there's been people throughout history and many people who know how to heal all these so-called incurable diseases. I mean, Hippocrates Health Institute in Florida has been doing it for over 50 years. Many, many people I know have been doing it for decades. I've been doing it for decades. I've helped thousands of people heal cancer, for example. It's not a mystery. And there are many ways of doing it. You can do it with food. You can do it with energy. You can do it with chemistry by alkalizing the body. You can do it with the mind, as people like Wim Hof are showing. You know, Wim Hof is this guy who swims in ice-cold water and takes cold showers and has these certain breath techniques. And he's been scientifically studied heavily, showing that what formerly was, you know, was believed that our autonomic nervous system couldn't be controlled by the conscious mind. Well, Wim Hof is proving that it can be, and he even had them inject E. coli into his bloodstream, and he was able to kill it with his mind and with his physiology. So, the powers that be know this, and they've been using it themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I've had some quite challenges. I'm sure you have too, but I was doing, you know, taking what was I've been subjected to with different devices, you know, blood and scale machines and things like that. And they said, congratulations, you have every known pathogen in your body right now. And I go, what? And like crazy stuff. They go, where did you get this stuff? And almost all different types of radiation.
Or
not just herbicides. And I eat very cleanly and everything else, but
with the kind of work you're doing, James, it very likely is probably an energy weapon attack, because I had that happen one time when I went and did a talk to about 500 people out in California near a military base, and I came home and I felt horrible for months, and I finally got hooked up to a scalar diagnostic machine that showed the same thing. It's like I had all these biowarfare agents in me and every disease known to man and all kinds of stuff. And it showed it was some kind of scalar weapon attack.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that definitely came up too. And they just said, you're under major attack, which is like, I kind of expected that.
Yeah.
But I was just curious to see how much comes with the territory.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm using a lot of different things to clear that out. And luckily, I have some friends in that place. And I know you have a lot of products too that can help with that as well on your site. But yeah, this has to get out. That's one of my goals here, is to bring out these formulas and these other energy technologies, healing technologies, and other technologies here at the ranch as a template. Where people can come and actually see it, you know, see people living a very spiritual life, you know, in harmony with nature and, you know, growing their own food, growing really mineral rich, abundant food, things like that. And to say, look, this is how you do it. This is what we need to get back to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I've been teaching that kind of stuff for many, many years. And, I, you know, I'd love to come and participate in that, show people how to grow their own food beyond anything that's available on the planet now. And, yeah, all kinds of healing techniques. It's all available to us. And it's simple, too. It's not like high-tech, complicated stuff. It's simple stuff.
That's what I've seen. I mean, I've seen, like, tables, like magnet light tables and stuff that are actually levitated on one of them. But, you know, like, I've had, you know, the luxury of, I don't know what it is. People come here and they just tell me everything. They don't, but they know I'm not going to say their names or create a problem, but you know, I have NASA guys come here and they just build things on everything and all the different government agencies you know, they're all here checking things out. And I said, you know, there's nothing hidden here. I said, I share everything here, and our whole focus is the awakening healing process, and they realize that, so they kind of back off. But I said, we're not a threat, actually, we're the answer. You know, we're here to help, you know.
Exactly. These people are dealing with the same thing too, you know?
Yeah. That's what they find out. I said, you know, the stuff we're bringing out, I said, humanity is under siege right now. And you know, we have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And some of the malevolent ones are actually working with certain, you know, global elite boys and things like that. And they just do not have our highest and best good in order. And I said, the reason you're seeing so much inhuman activity on the planet, because there's a lot of non-human influence. And
precisely.
You have to factor that in. You can't, it's just the people being, you know, nasty to people. These people have other hookups going on and other unseen native influences attached to them. You know, it's just a big multidimensional mess right now, but, you know, luckily the higher dimensions are pressing in and cleaning a lot of that up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You're preaching to the choir there, because I've been saying that for many, many years, that this extraterrestrial and particularly reptilian influence on Earth, and having been around these reptiles and see how they are, even the benevolent ones, they have certain tendencies and ways of being. Mm-hmm. And you can see it manifest in humanity because of the influence from thousands of years of this exposure.
Yeah, and a lot of them, it's hard to explain to people. There's beings out there that it's the same thing on Earth. You know, I notice, let's say if a Palladian comes here, you know, and they come to Earth and they just get beat up. If a Palladian soul incarnates, they just get beat up because they have no concept of lying and stealing and doing harm to others and things. It's not part of their reality at all. And so they got to get street tough, you know, when they come in here. And it's very hard for a lot of them to actually realize that there are people out there that will harm you, that will steal from you, and will lie to you.
Right, right. Yeah, very true. Very, very true. And I've had lessons in that recently in November, December. They were really tough months because we had several vendors and customers defraud us of large amounts of money, nearly bankrupted my company. Mm-hmm. And astrologically, looking at the astrology, what was going on, it was all about exactly what you're saying, those lessons of recognizing that there are negative forces out there that, you know, you have to be aware of.
I like that Confucius saying. He said, when somebody says trust, 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 it's time to count your spoons, spoons, spoons. You know? So, you know. And I just say, I mean, not to bash Christians, but I have people say, yeah, I'm a good Christian, you know, and I go, what does that mean? You know, it's just like, you know, and then you end up getting screwed and you go, well, you know, what happened to your ethics? You know, your Christian ethics, they kind of went out the window when the dollar bill showed up. And, you know, we had one guy rip off my family for a whole lot of money. He fights the books and everything, you know, in a hardware store. And later on, he admitted, he goes, yeah, because I had a little slip there, but God forgave me. And I said, well, why don't you make it good? You know, make restitution for what you've done. He goes, oh, no, God forgave me. I don't need to, you know. And I just go, wow.
Yeah, I've had those kinds of experiences, too. It's sad.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Anyway, get off topic here a little bit, but there's so many different ways to go. I just received an email. Now, I had a couple people that are very, I think they're very reputable psychics and remote viewers and things like that. And they've been seeing huge changes coming up, and not just consciousness and energy changes, but physical changes as well. And one, it was funny, last night, this one woman called me up and she says, you know, I received a message and I need to talk to you about this, that we're not too far away from a pole shift and things slipping around quite a bit. So just a little heads up, see what you get. And she kept getting that message over and over again. And then that was last night. And then today I get this email about the magnetic poles moving very fast towards Siberia, and faster than they even experienced. And they're having to reset all the you know, the runways and everything else right now, because it's happening so fast. But it's kind of interesting, you know, when people are, it's kind of how the universe works for me. Somebody will tell me something, and I'll hear it two, three other places, and then the evidence gets dumped right in my lap.
Yeah, actually, a pole shift has been one of my biggest concerns over the years, because you know, this scientist I mentioned who worked in Los Alamos, he, brilliant guy, and he had access to technologies, and they were measuring it, and the magnetic field has gotten so weak, and it's been bouncing around. Same thing here in Florida; they've had to repaint runway headings because the magnetic north has shifted so much. So that's one of my big concerns, because if the poles shift, this is what happens before a pole shift, the magnetic field gets very weak, and this has happened before in history. So scientists know this; it's been measured. And so, yeah, if it happens, there's going to be a lot of devastation and probably loss of life, because, you know, hot places become cold and vice versa. The floods, you know, water levels shift all over.
Well, I was told, like, somebody that did like an Air Force thing, and they did a report on a magnetic pole shift and what would happen. And they're kind of saying that everything with a ground wire is just going to go fry, you know, which is pretty much everything, you know, unless you're DC. I don't even know. I guess the DC might still work because you're up on tires, but.
Yeah, it would definitely be very weird. Basically, all of the polarities in electromagnetism would reverse. And so, yeah, it's like anything that we've wired. I mean, if you change the polarity in DC motors and things, they'll still run. But AC motors and other things, you can get all kinds of weird effects. Or the electric grid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely.
Yeah. Could. Yeah, I was wondering what that would do to a car, because I guess the poles would shift. Your battery would be, one would be positive and one in.
Right.
I don't know what that would do.
Well, on modern cars, it would fry them.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It would definitely fry them. You know, and there's always hope. I mean, you know, David Wilcock interviewed a lady whose father had worked for Lockheed Skunk Works. Mm-hmm. And she said that her father told her back in the 70s that they had technology that could create or prevent a pole shift. So if that's true, then, you know, maybe it's not such a big concern, but, you know, we'll see. Yeah. But overall, I'm pretty optimistic. I mean, I think anybody who's awake and aware and is just going along with the shifts that are already occurring, I think they'll be fine. It's the ones that are resisting and trying to hang on to the old paradigm that are, I mean, they're already dying and suffering. So it'll just be more of that.
Well, you know, I've seen too, some of the meditations that I had talking to the, you know, some of the Palladians and Andromedans and things like that. And they said the earth has already started to go, and they actually pulled it back, as much as 20 degrees. It was starting to go, and then they pulled it back and put it back in place a couple times for us. So hopefully they'll keep doing that or holding it in place. But maybe that's where this Lockheed guy got his information from.
Could be. You know, and again, you know, it's like you're already in a situation where you live very close to nature and you can grow your own food and those kinds of things and take care of yourself without technology. And I've been in the same boat. I'm on 5 acres here in Florida. I grow most of my own food and I can take care of myself. And I also know how to create free energy, no matter what the polarity is. And also, I've been lately, last 4 days, I've been taking cold showers because I was watching Wim Hof, you know, this guy who's been, you know, doing all this healing work simply by immersing himself in cold water and doing breath work and things. So, you know, if you're of the ilk where you get interested in these kinds of things and you're living a relatively natural life, then, you know, if all this technology does go by the wayside or if it starts crumbling, it's not going to be a big shock to you. In fact, it might even be welcome. You know, when we've had hurricanes here and when I lived in North Carolina and it took out the power for a week, it was a wonderful vacation for me. You know, I didn't have to work. I didn't have all this technology and EMF and everything else, although my house has no EMF to speak of. But but still, it was a blessing to be without it.
No. Yeah, we could probably go a year here, no problem at all, just because we have, you know, basically wood heat, and we can actually cook off the wood stoves. We've got propane for about 6 months at least, you know, for our hot water. We cook with it too. And so the only thing we'd be missing is lighting, and you just go to bed when it gets dark and get up when the sun comes up, you know. And that's an easy fix too. I have this one little flashlight I've had for about 10 years now with the same battery. And I just pull the battery out and hold it for a little while and put it back in it, and it works fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. But people don't realize we have trillions of volts in our system. We just have to know how to direct them.
Right. And, you know, there's a guy named John Bedini who came out with a motor, which you can go on YouTube and see how to build one with magnets. Very, very simple. And it doesn't generate electricity, but it generates scalar waves, which you can then send into a battery, and it will desulfate a dead, messed up battery and fix it and then charge it. And so you can use very simple devices like that that run perpetually. There are, you know, technically not perpetual motion machines, but there are machines that will run ad infinitum that can do those kinds of things. So, you know, people that are aware of this stuff and are concerned about it, there are solutions already out there.
Yeah, we have, for some reason, we have a very short life on batteries here, especially car batteries. And I think it's from all the torsion fields, you know, by the ships or the vortex itself. I just had a battery go out and a battery charger fry. And sitting in my shop turned off. The thing just fried itself. So there's some strange. I like to get.
Well, that makes sense because I've seen. Yeah. I saw that video of the saucer fly over your property.
Yeah.
And the field coming off something like that could certainly, you know, empty out a battery or fry it.
Regular.
But
scale.
If that stuff's going on, you know, get a Bedini motor or build a Bedini motor. There are actually plans online, and you can fix all of them and charge them up whenever you want.
I'll have to do that, definitely. Yeah, I think as if we go with the flow and continue to rise to the occasion in consciousness and whatever, we'll just be interfacing with all these technologies. And I know people right now that have energy technologies. One was like the size of a little pie plate, and it has 9 coils, and each coil puts out 25,000 watts. And so it's unbelievable. We have that technology right now. He can't do anything with it right now. He's waiting for the right time, but there's nothing he can do with it because we tried to get it out in the early 90s. And, you know, his car was stolen. They thought it was in his car. And they blew his lab up and they threatened his family. And we had everybody coming after us. And finally, we just dropped it. We said, okay, we're done. You know, we're going to wait. Just, there's just too many people trying to take us out, you know. Yeah. So,
in the and for your listeners, you know, for people that are kind of interested in this free energy stuff, I can tell folks right now on the radio how to build their own free energy device really simply, which you can use as proof of concept to do something bigger. You can take a Tesla pancake coil, which is, you can go online and Google that and see Google images of it. Very easy to build. You can just take speaker wire, for example, and wrap it in a spiral in a certain way and create this coil. And then if you lay it down, you can go online and buy a Farberware hot plate for inductive hot plate for about $40. These are hot plates that instead of getting hot, they put out a strong electromagnetic field that will heat pans up that have iron in them. Mm-hmm. And so it puts out a very strong field. So you can take the Tesla pancake coil and lay it on the inductive hot plate, turn the hot plate on, and it will induce a current in the Tesla coil that will be about 3 to 5 times the amount of energy coming out of the coil than went into the thing. So, for example, you could use mm-hmm. that principle, connect it to a solar generator or whatever other kind of power supply you've got, and you can amplify it 3 to 5 times, and then suddenly solar, for example, becomes very affordable.
Yeah, so I've heard China had some things that were like, I don't know, 800% more efficient than the ones they're using today, and they won't let them in. They won't let them bring it in because it'll take down. Yeah, it'll interfere with the PG&E folks or whatever.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah, back in the 90s, I worked with a man named Ewell Brown who developed water field technology, and he went to China to have the generators manufactured, and they built 2,000 of them. But the same thing happened. You know, it was suppressed, and he was murdered because of the existing energy paradigm and cartel. But yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
We have a couple of those here. We use them more for healing, but you can weld with them. And I use one to weld. You can weld glass to brick to
– Exactly.
To metal.
Anything.
I had one.
I had a little one back in the 90s, and that's exactly it. You could weld plastic to wood or anything to anything. It was really amazing.
Yeah. There's so much. I'm really looking forward to it because I really – see these global elite boys, these mega corporation stuff are going down, and the ones that have been suppressing all these fuelless energy devices and healing technologies, energy healing medicine and the natural cures are imploding on themselves. And I that might be part of this government shutdown. Who knows? They might be reorganizing a lot of these things and moving people out of these moves because they're all, you know, opposite. You know, people think that the EPA is all for us and to clean up the environment and everything else. You know, call them up and say, hey, you know, they're spraying aluminum, barium, strontium in the air right now, along with some crazy biologicals. I have all the samples right here. And can you take a look at this? They won't even talk to you. They won't even touch it. Right. If you go to the Sierra Club, you know, and you say, hey, you know, or any of these guys, you know, official clubs, and you go, hey, you're concerned about the environment. What do you think aluminum does to the forest, you know, and the trees? It makes them torches, you know, and it blocks nutrients from coming up the, coming into the tree, and it, you know, just destroys forests. And you say, what about this? And they go, we don't deal with that. You know, we don't. Right. That's the EPA's problem. You know, right. And I go, well, yeah.
A lot of these major environmental organizations are really just controlled opposition anyway.
So, exactly. You know. And I told they come knocking on your door and they want a donation. And I said, okay, I tell you what, I'll make a donation if you can come back to me if you study chemtrails and then ask them why they aren't dealing with, and if you can bring me a written answer back, I'll make a donation. And then they look into it and they go, oh my God. And then they try to find it. They go, oh no, don't go there. They go, don't go there. Yeah. And then, you know, so, you know, it's sad that these things, you know, they sound good. They, you know, like the Red Cross, you know, owned by the Bushes and things like that. Yeah. you know, these things all sound really good on the outside, but you look at where the money goes and what's really going on, it's really sad. And, you know, these things have to collapse. A lot of these foundations have to collapse because they're actually taking money, you know, out of circulation that would actually be going towards helping, you know, the less fortunate and things like that.
Right. Yeah, I what you're talking about reminds me, I very often, because I'm in natural health, I will get people in these big national health organizations like the American Cancer Society, for example. They'll ask for a donation to help stomp out cancer. And I go, well, actually, I know how to cure cancer. So if you'd like, I can come and speak to your organization about how to heal it, you know, and of course, you never hear from them again.
Oh, no. Yeah. Run from the cure. You know, it's like amazing. You know, we're hitting the end of the hour, unfortunately. We just got a few minutes left. But I really want to thank you for coming on the show. And what's the best way for people to get a hold of you to learn more about? Is it the www.freshandalive.com?
Freshandalive.com is my main website where my products are for sale there, and you can see the information on them. For educational type stuff, my blog is one of the best places. That's freshandaliveblog.com. And then also my YouTube channel, if you just search on Fresh and Alive or Ken Rohla, R-O-H-L-A, on YouTube, you'll find me there. And, of course, I've done tons of interviews and stuff on YouTube as well. So, yeah, I'm out there.
Well, I can't wait to get you out here to the ranch and see what's going on here.
I know, and I'll make it this year. I'm pretty sure, unless something crazy comes up, I'll be able to make it.
We'll have you out at the 4th of July conference, and hopefully more than that, because there's so much potential. We just need to get the right people to you know, send things in the right direction or kind of direct things. But yeah. I've got all the connections with all the right people, and soon we'll have the funding, and then I'll also have the legal structure in place, so we can do whatever we need to do here. So it's getting close anyway.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, I appreciate all the work you do, my friend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I know we can talk a lot more about your products. Pitch back on again, because it's really important that people get access to these things. And again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and keep up the great work you're doing.
Likewise. Thank you, James. I appreciate it.
All right, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio. And go to eSETI. Start if you want to see it there as well. Actually, we talk radio on the BBS network. It's a kind of a simulcast, and we also have just what you said about, or find out more about any conferences. They're not up yet, but they will be up soon. So anyway, it's all about rising to the occasion, you know, open mind, loving heart, pure intent. That's all we need to do to get through these times, and pay attention. Things are changing. Good night.